Almighty God, give us ears to hear your story in these words of Scripture. Give us eyes to see your story in the faces of those that surround us, and give us faith enough that by your grace we might serve you until the end of our days. From Midian to here in the Mid-South, and every place you call your family to journey with you in between. Lord Jesus, who came to love the whole world, take over here. Amen. So I'm going to go out on a limb and presume that pretty much everybody in here has heard about Moses. We know a lot about Moses. We know about Moses when he was a baby in a basket on the side of the river. We know about Moses all the way until his dying days looking into the promised land. And we know a whole lot of what happened in between. There are not very many characters in God's word where we know their whole life story. On the other hand, there's Moses's brother-in-law, this guy named Hobab. Neil told me I was pronouncing it correctly. Hobab was a man that was likely about Moses's age, so don't picture Charleston Heston as much as maybe somebody in their 40s. And Hobab was the son of Jethro. That was not a character in a comic book, but was a son of God and a follower of God. We know that Jethro came from the land of the Midianites, and that there was a Midianite woman who became Abraham's wife after Sarah died. It's important to know that Hobab is the in-law, but he's also a part of God's family. He's the brother of Zipporah, the woman who became Moses' wife when he fled into the desert after murdering the Egyptian. Remember, we know a lot about this guy's story. And although he had committed that action and was now on the run, Moses knew that God was with him and that God was with God's people. And there's no doubt that Moses would have told his brother-in-law, Hobab, about the power and grace of God. We also know that Hobab today came for a visit at what surely must have felt like to Moses the absolute perfect time. So here's what else we know about today's scripture. It took the Israelites 3 months from the time they escaped to get to Sinai. And then if you fast forward another 9 months or so, we know that they have recognized and remembered the Passover in this wilderness place. So it's been at least that long. This is where we meet them today. On the 20th day of the second month, they began to journey in the desert. We know that they're going to wander for another 39 years. They don't know that yet. They have no idea what's ahead of them. They don't have a GPS or an itinerary or any kind of map to follow. They have a cloud that is God, and they have Moses, and they have each other. But the rest would unfold as it unfolded. Curiosity, fear, anxiety, yes, 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 and so much more. And it was just days before their wandering in the desert began that we meet Hobab. Sometime before the encampment broke up from Sinai, Hobab came for a visit. And remember, he was a Midianite, which we understand was one of the wandering tribes. Let me put that in today's language. If you are stuck in the woods all by yourself, with God, of course, do you want the Girl Scout and the Boy Scout with you? Or do you want the bookworm or the person who plays video games all day? I don't know about you. Love them equally, I'm sure. I want the scout. I want the person who knows where the dangers lurk and the safe places to camp are and where we might find water or edible vegetation. And here comes Hobab. Remember, Moses, even though he spent some time watching Jethro's flocks, this was a guy who grew up in an Egyptian palace with a silver spoon or whatever they used in his mouth. This was not a guy that knew how to survive in the desert. And here comes Hobab. And so we meet Moses today, first kind of awkwardly saying, come with us. It'll be good. We'll be nice to you. And then Hobab says, and okay, this is a very relaxed English paraphrase, nope, I'm going home. Y'all are crazy. And then Moses, it's as if he realizes what he's about to lose in his brother-in-law. I don't know if you heard the tone, but I read it as begging. Okay, you cannot leave us. I have no idea what I'm doing. They think I do. I don't have a clue. I know we have a cloud, but I really need a friend. I need you to go with us. And God will love you. And all of the blessings that we get from God, I will share with you. I need your help on this journey. It was dangerous, even for the seasoned wanderer. This is the wilderness. And they didn't have a plan. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. So I invite us to listen again to what Moses is really saying. He basically says, we've got it all, and we'll be nice to you. Now, if you remember in the beginning of Moses' call story, when God says, I need you to go and lead my people, Moses said, you need my brother Aaron. He's the public speaker. That is not in my toolbox. And God says, no, I need you. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that Moses doesn't maybe use the best words in his initial invitation. If we hear it from Hobab's point of view, the fact that he says no the first time, okay, that's not surprising at all. I think many of us might have reacted the same way. It's not that we don't want to help. It's not that we don't love our in-laws, but we're not willing probably to risk our lives for their crazy plans. And then according to this passage, God doesn't make any promises to Hobab. The promises, as he hears Moses describe them, were only to Moses and the Israelites. Again, all Moses says basically is, we'll be nice to you. Before we begin to roll our eyes at Moses' clumsy invite, I invite us to take a little look at ourselves too. How often do we put a lot of thought into how we approach sharing God's good news with other people? How often do we really put ourselves in another person's shoes or hear our words or observe our behaviors from the perspective of someone who is very different from most of the people that we know? Intentionally or unintentionally, and probably more often the latter, how often are our attempts to share God's good news received by the Hobabs in our life? How often do we seek to just mimic our culture or our way of worship or our way of understanding God or even the language we use for God and try to impose that on others? Which brings us back to today's text. At first glance, it might sound like this is Moses trying to offer the good news, salvation, if you will, to Hobab. The Israelites were free, and they were being led by Yahweh. Surely Hobab would want that too. But then, like much of God's word, there's more to this story. Listen to how Moses responds when Hobab says, no, I don't think so. I will stay here with my kindred and my culture and my traditions. Rather than Moses being the one who had something worth giving, as the story begins, God seems to quickly show Moses a new perspective. Moses doesn't just have something to give to his brother-in-law. He realizes that he needs to be a gracious recipient, too. He realizes that there are things in Hobab's tradition that the Israelites need. Moses realizes, hey, wait a minute. We're all in this together. You're a child of God. I'm a child of God. None of us is going to fully experience God's blessings in the promised land unless we first learn how to enrich each other's lives in the here and now. Hobab had gifts that the Israelites needed, and the Israelites had stories that Hobab surely needed to hear. So Moses says, don't leave us. be our eyes. Let us work together. Or as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father on earth as it is in heaven. Congregations, children of God worldwide, have things that we not only should share with each other, but need to share with each other. We can be the eyes of someone who's faithful to someone who's new to God's word, but their life story might give us a way of seeing God's work in the world that we could never have imagined if we hadn't taken the time to turn a stranger into a friend. If we allow ourselves to be open, really open to the infinite ways God speaks to each of us, if we allow ourselves to accept those invitations when the Holy is extended to us, we too might see something new. And so today of all days, as we recognize World Communion Sunday, we are reminded by this table that we are all gathered together. We gather around this table sometimes with people that we don't even like very much, with people who worship God very differently than how we do. We gather around this table with people that we've never even met, but Christ made us sisters and brothers, and every single one of us is adored by our Creator. He wants us to be a family. And so we are called to this table today and always, with death row inmates, alongside people who don't look like us or talk like us, people who say Fred instead of peace. We are called to worship alongside God with people who are single or married or single parents, adoptive parents, with people who identify as LGBT or have purple hair or sleeves of tattoos and multiple piercings. We are called by God to sit at this table, not just as Presbyterians, but as Baptists and Lutherans and Episcopalians and Methodists. We're called to be blessed and to be fed and to share our gifts, to be nourished by one another with those who identify as part of the Assemblies of God or the United Church of Christ, Greek Orthodox, Mennonites, and non-denominational churches. Because the table doesn't have a limited number of seats. God just keeps building the table so that it gets bigger and bigger, because everyone is invited to be fed. We are called to worship with the homeless and with political candidates and orphans, the well-educated and the illiterate, those who have been abuse or sex trafficking victims, those who are unwillingly separated from their families for whatever reason. We're called to be at this table with people who think This Is Us is the most incredible drama ever put on television. And we're called to be at this table with people who cheer for teams that are not a part of the SEC. We are called to be one. We don't have to agree on everything, but we have to agree on this. We are the children of God, and we matter. And just as Hobab had gifts to offer, and Moses certainly had gifts to offer, even if he didn't recognize them in himself, we come to this table, this communion, with gifts to receive and gifts to share. Did you know the word communion? We have lots of different names for this celebration. The Lord's Supper, Eucharist, communion. Did you know that the word communion literally means to break bread with? You can't do it by yourself. You have to have a community. You have to have someone to break bread with. The word companion also comes from the same root. A companion is someone you break bread with. And it's not just remembering, but reliving. Because we are the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus' life that God's love is fully revealed. It's through the life of Christ that we see how intimately God wants to love us. By becoming human, God irrevocably becomes a part of the human adventure. And communion should be the place where everyone is welcomed with joy. So, friends in faith, fellow Christians, if we take the gospel seriously, if we take seriously that we are all in God's world together, if we take seriously that God's table and God's grace and God's gifts through baptism are for everyone, for God so loves the world, then we cannot, dare not, engage in the world and return home again without sharing a part of our faith and who we are with others. And we cannot, dare not, expect to engage out there in the world and return home the same ever again. Just like Moses invited Hobab to come be a part of this wilderness adventure to see God in a new way and to love God with a new community, God is at work in our lives too. May we, like these brother-in-laws, be willing to recognize bread from heaven in places familiar and foreign, in places we know, and with friends we haven't met yet, and with hearts like Christ that are open to extending and accepting invitations of God's good news wherever God's journey leads. Among everything that Jesus taught us in word or in deed, I invite you to hear these words again, perhaps for the first time. Give us this day our daily bread. Indeed. For there's room at God's table for everyone. And what a celebration that will be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Alleluia. Amen.